Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. All of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ were given for our benefit, that we might understand more about Him and about the kingdom of God. The story in today's broadcast is no exception, and what an important one it is. It's all about setting priorities, about being wise for eternity, and making sure that we have what God requires for entrance into His heaven. It's a story about 10 young women. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. That is with regard to preparing ahead for what was most important. You see, the bridegroom was coming, and they all had to be ready. That is, they had to have oil on hand to make sure that their lamps burned brightly. But sadly, as the story unfolds, we learn that 5 had not made the preparation needed. When the call for the bridegroom was made, they found themselves without oil. They found themselves outside of a closed door. In today's broadcast, evangelist Mr. Frank Sona looks at this story and applies it to each one of us today. Do we have what we need when it comes to our last moments here on earth? When you think about it, it's the only thing that really matters, and we hope that you will take the lesson of Christ's story to heart today and that your lamp will be empty no longer.
Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Now the Lord Jesus is the speaker here. And He is telling us what the kingdom of heaven is like. So let's see if we can pick up on the meaning of things here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. So they're split into equal number. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So what was the difference between the two? Well, you say, first of all, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. That's one difference. Right. What made them wise and foolish? They weren't born that way. It's telling us that what shows that they were foolish was that they didn't take any oil in their lamps. It's like trying to take a flashlight without batteries. And it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, panic here now starts to set in, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. That's the idea. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This is one of those stories again, parables, that the Lord Jesus uses to emphasize and illustrate a point. So we all know that basically a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And as the Lord Jesus unfolds this story, it's actually part of a larger, wider setting that begins in chapter 24, and it ends at the end of chapter 25. It's called the Olivet Discourse. And he's talking about future events, really, and what characterizes these events, and the impact that their present condition will have if that happens now. In other words, he's telling them, be ready. Be ready. That's what a gospel meeting does. It tells people, be ready. You need to be ready. If we have failed to make the message and give it an urgency that it deserves, then we are guilty of not preaching it correctly. But if you have failed to understand and grasp the urgency of the message, then you've missed out on the point of it. It is of vital importance that you understand this is an urgent message. It's not a message that people can just afford to sit back and, you know how sometimes you get mail and you kind of look at it and you go, I'll look at this later, and you throw it aside, you toss it aside, and it's not really that important at all. Listen, you can't do that with the gospel. There are people that do it every day. And there are people in hell tonight because they have done it. And they have heard the message, they've either sat in a gospel meeting, they've heard about the need and the consequences of dying in their sins, and they've just kind of tossed it aside because something else was more important. There is nothing more important than this message. There is nothing more important than your soul, where you will be for eternity. Don't miss out on this. Don't give other things more importance than this, because there is nothing more important than this matter. Now, as the Lord Jesus tells them, and he uses the example of a wedding procession, a wedding and a wedding procession. You know, it's interesting. I want you to understand the circumstances. I'm going to look at three things about that revolve around the truth of these lamps. The circumstances of the lamps, the crisis of the lamps, and then the closing for the lamps. And light, that as we end this parable, that slowly fades out into darkness. The circumstances of the lamps. Well, the background of this is very different than what we're used to with weddings today. You get an invitation to a wedding today, and you go to where the wedding is to be held, either a church building or another place, or sometimes it's in a home, other times you go to where the wedding is. But in this time, it was a little bit different. The wedding procession, there was a procession, and what would happen is that the groom would go to the home of the bride to get her and bring her to his home. And while they were going now through the streets of the city from her home to his home, there would be the people that would be invited, and they would make various stops along the way, various places, various stations, maybe this corner, maybe that corner. The invitation would go out. The procession, you ever hear a crowd draws a crowd? And that's what would happen. And as the procession went on, it would grow and it would increase. And there would be more people added to the procession as they would move on to where the bridegroom's home was as he's taking the bride. And people would walk along. Now you could picture this, because what it shows now is this is at night and they've got their lamps. So you could see as it gets closer and closer now, there are lights along the way and people carrying the lights. You know, what a picture. What a picture really of Christians who have been delivered. And now there's a light there, and we're walking with the bridegroom, and they're going. But you see, there are other people, and they're kind of just going along the way, but they're not ready. Everybody's got a lamp, but not everybody has oil in the lamps. Now, I'll just tell you very simply, the oil in your Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God that gives life to a sinner. And if you don't have life, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have life. And if you don't have life, you're not ready to go to heaven. You're not going to heaven. You need life to go to heaven. You need life to enter in. Now, there is a difference between light and life. There are people that have light. Everybody, you notice, five wise, five foolish, numbers divided equally. And they've all got lamps. Because the Word of God makes it clear that He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every single person has light. God gives light. He doesn't hold back light. He gives light. No, you know what the problem is? It's sinners that move away from the light. They don't want the light. Well, there's the light of creation that bears witness to a creator. There's the light of conscience we have inside of us. We are made aware that there is a God. There is an accountability. In fact, that He has put eternity in our hearts. But the Word of God is the greatest light for us as we hold it in our hands. Preaching of the gospel is light. See, everybody's given light. The question is now, what are you going to do with that light? Are you going to move on to what the light is bringing you to? Now, let me make something else clear. The light never got them in the door. No. The bridegroom got them in the door. The light brought them to the bridegroom. Behold the bridegroom. Go ye out to meet him. Light brings it. Just like, you remember the wise men in the Gospel of Matthew earlier? What did they see over that star where the baby Jesus was? They saw the light of that star, that house rather. They saw the light. Light brought them to where Christ was. You know what? That happens today. Light brings people to the Savior, the light of the Word of God. But there are people that they don't want the light. And sadly, I think it was Plato that said that we could easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark, but it is a supreme tragedy when men are afraid of the light. Are you afraid of the light? Afraid of what it'll show you? Afraid of what you'll see? Like the horribly disfigured person who went through their home and smashed every mirror so that they would never see what they really looked like? There are sinners that don't want to see what they look like. The problem is this: if you never see what you are, if you never allow the Word of God to show you what you are in your sins and in your lostness, you will never see Christ. You will never see the beauty in Him. Because you see, the beauty in the Lord Jesus is especially appreciated by those who recognize we needed a Savior. That's some of the circumstances behind these lamps. Now let me just tell you a little bit about the crisis of the lamps. Because we have a few things here that we need to understand. First of all, the time of this. It says at midnight. Now they're all getting ready. The procession is moving. Now at midnight. Now you see, in the Word of God, midnight is always a crisis time. Remember in Acts 16, there was a jailer in Philippi. And he was guarding the prisoners, Paul and Silas. And the earthquake came. And he was, that night, awakened out of his sleep. And it says, at midnight. You know, when you hear the gospel, it's a crisis time. People don't understand. They don't realize just how important this time is. The time of it, the tenor of it. Not only do we have the time of it, that it was at midnight, but it says there was a cry made. A cry. You know, if we could, we would shake sinners to awaken them. I can tell you this. I found out myself as a young person, I was going to hell. I needed to be saved. If I didn't get God's salvation, I was going to that place called the lake of fire. And the tenor of what I heard that night so gripped me. You know, the problem is there's people who they move in religion. They think it's a church. They think it's just some quote unquote faith, and they have never been awakened. Never. Their sins have never become a burden to them. Their conscience has never been convicted. They have never felt the weight of their sin. In short, the light of the truth of the Word of God has never dawned in upon their soul. And the word saved is not part of their vocabulary. Saved? I remember having meetings back in 2004. There was a woman there married to one of the believers. She started coming, and one day we were talking, and she says, you know, I don't like that word saved. She was a churchgoer, came from a family of churchgoers, but she didn't like that word saved. She says, well, why don't you just say, listen, how about a Christian? We can be Christians. I says, wait a minute. For a person to become a Christian, they have to be saved. And she says, I don't like that word. I just don't like it. And I remember that night she came out to the gospel meeting, and I took up the truth of being saved. And I says, you know what? We love to hear that word saved. The light of the gospel shining unto our souls. You know what? It's possible to have a lamp in your hand and be lost. It's possible to have a Bible with your name on it and you're lost. Here were 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And there are those that are wise. And like we said in nights past, Matthew's gospel divides people, wise and foolish. Oh no, it's not a matter of IQ. It's not a matter of being able to take some college test or university test and be able to pass with flying colors, and those are the people that get into heaven. No, no. It's the people who come to believe what God has said is true. We've taken God at His word. We've taken the place that God has given us. Not because we feel it. Not because we don't want it to be or want it to be, but because God says it. And individuals who come to that point, I can tell you, just like I did, I had to realize that God says I'm perishing. I'm lost. And He's the only one that can get me in. And I want to tell you, that night, September 25th, 1968, I can go back to the time in which I found out that the whole reason I can go to heaven, and I'm going to go to heaven, is because Christ died for me. I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was without hope, without God. And I found out that night I was perishing. And everybody that's saved, we get to, listen, our backgrounds are different. Just like this procession moving through the streets, some men, some women, some young people, some short, some tall, all different backgrounds, all different pasts and so on. Yet here they are because the bridegroom has called them. And there was a personal response. It's one thing for the bridegroom to call. It's another thing, it says they went out to meet him. There must be that personal response from your heart. The gospel isn't something that just comes and drops out of the sky. There has to be, strive to enter in. Go after it. You put this ahead of it, you put that ahead of it, you will never get it. You will never go to heaven. You will stay lost in your sins. And the light is there, and the cry is there, and the timing is there, and you miss it. The urgency of it. You know what they said? Did you catch what the people said, the five wise? The five foolish said this. Now picture this. They said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. And the wise said, get it for yourself. We can't give to you. You've got to get salvation for yourself. We can't give it to you. Can I ask you something very simply? Do you have light? Or do you have life? Do you have the knowledge of Christ? Or do you have Christ? It makes all the difference. Because these people aren't going in that door. And that door is going to shut. And when that door shuts, I tell you what, you don't want to be on the wrong side of a closed door. In fact, I want you to think about the closing for the lamps. They're going. They're moving. Clock is ticking. Again, I want to just be very simple. It doesn't take a genius to figure out. You are one day closer to eternity today than you were yesterday. So just from that standpoint, every one of us here are that much closer. Time that you will never get back. You will never call back and get that time and put it to your account. You have lost time. But there is the coming of the Lord. And the Lord could come tonight. And I have to tell you, there are times when I lose sight of it. But that's what the Word of God says. And the reality is you need to be ready. Why would you stay in your sins one more moment when you could be ready? When you could know beyond the shadow of a doubt that based on what God says, not some man here, not God in His Word, that you could have eternal life. That's the gospel. And I know we need to present the other side of it because the other side of it says this. People are perishing, and you need to be saved. You must be saved. The bridegroom is coming. Be ye ready. Why does the Lord say that? If there's no alternative, if there's no danger, if there's no warning here set in the midst of this passage, be ye ready. Because the sad reality is the majority of people aren't ready, and the door is going to close. I remember an account of three businessmen. They were traveling in Africa. They were actually crossing a ferry, the Bacoba ferry. This ferry was known for its unsafe crossings. The ferry, the Bacoba ferry, had a licensed capacity of 453 or so. On this day, there would be over 1,100 people on this ferry. They were crossing Lake Victoria. Lake Victoria is not all that deep of a lake, but it was deep enough for this disaster. And as that ferry, because of all the people and the unsafe conditions and the lack of safety of what they had failed to maintain, the equipment on board that ferry tilted and went over and started being submerged under the waters. But there were three men in a cabin. They were businessmen. They had their own cabin. But when that ship had tilted over, the first thing they thought of is, we've got to seal up this cabin so we can at least be preserved, we can be protected, so the water won't get in. So they started with all they could. They grabbed towels, they grabbed hand cloths, everything they can get, and started wedging them in the door, doing whatever they could in the windows. Problem was, as that boat now was underwater, they did a very good job of keeping the water out, but they also had no oxygen. They started talking to each other, finding out what their families were like, what their children did. Let me ask you something. What would you be doing at that moment? What would you be talking about? Talking about what you're going to do tomorrow in the job? Talking about the desires, you know, moving money around, making friendships, plans? Is that what you would do? Now you see, what would matter most to you? And as those men were in that cabin, one man wrote a note to his wife, told her that he loved her. Watch over the children. You think he was telling her, now listen, honey, make sure that you take out the garbage tomorrow. Make sure that there's a loose board in the back on the fence. You think he was bothered about all that? No, you see, life was funneling down to what mattered most. And at the end, with the lack of oxygen, when they found those men, they found a scrawled note. One of them could hardly even complete because of oxygen deprivation. And it said something like this: "We are finished." They ran out of the one thing that they really needed the most of: oxygen. You know what you're running out of? I want to tell you this as your friend, as someone who cares about you, as a fellow traveler to eternity. You are running out of the one thing that you need the most of: time. And you're not ready. You're not ready to die. And you're not ready to meet God. And your lamp is going out. I'm going to tell you something. You can have an endless supply of oil, of life. You could be ready. You could be looking forward. You could be saved. Would that be a tremendous thing for you to be able to say, "I am saved"? Not some weak experience. Not something you did, but right back to what the Word of God says Christ did for your lost soul. You see, light didn't get him in the door. The bridegroom did. And when the bridegroom left, the door was shut. I'm going to tell you something. Time is running out. He's coming and you're going. And you combine both those events with a clock that's ticking. And I don't know how much time any of us has. But God never gives a man tomorrow. Never. But he gives you now. And he says, "Come now. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as white as wool." He's offered, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." That rest comes at a tremendous price to him. He had to die. He had to suffer. He had to be crucified to give you this rest. But you can have it based on what God says. As he gives you his word, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Trust the Lord Jesus before you run out of time.
What a tremendous tragedy to be without the oil, and in spite of the fact that God has already provided you with the means to obtain it. Christ has died for your sins, and he calls for all to come to him for cleansing. Make no mistake about it. The midnight hour is approaching, and there is no guarantee of tomorrow. You only have now, just now, to make sure that all is right with your soul. Trust Christ today and have your lamp filled and ready when it comes to that day. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday night, as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gospel hall nearest you. Also, feel free to take a look at other literature and audio offers at anchorpointradio.com, where you can also subscribe to our Anchor Point podcast. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.